James Ennis, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you.
Now, you have been a spotlight artist for the TSO this season, and you have a very long history of performing as a soloist with the TSO. And I'm wondering how this is different for you, engaging on this level, as opposed to being, you know, a visiting artist for a week.
Well, it's really special to be able to be more deeply involved. I think a lot of what I do in my job is joining a place for weekend and going on to the next place for a weekend and on to the next place. And that's wonderful, but it doesn't always feel like the most immersive experience. And I would say that this year has just been, for me, kind of a wonderful celebration of the depth of the relationship I've established with the TSO over the last 30 years. You know, to get to make music several times in a season, different pieces, different types of pieces, with these musicians that I know so well professionally and personally. In a way, we start from such a strong point of communication because of our relationship. The working progress of putting things together, it starts from a place where we're kind of already ahead of the game. So that's really fun and really rewarding.
And in all of this, you're, of course, interacting a lot with the music director, Gustavo Gimeno. Tell us a bit about your relationship with him. When did you first meet?
Actually, it's somewhat related to a TSO experience. The Toronto Symphony was one of the commissioners of a concerto written for me. This would have been in, I believe, 2017, a wonderful concerto by Aaron J. Kernis. And the world premiere was in Toronto with Peter Ungen. About a month later, I was giving concerts with one of the other co-commissioners, the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, and their music director, Jaap van Speden, for personal reasons, had to withdraw from those concerts. So they hired Gustavo Gimeno to come in and learn this incredibly difficult modern score on very short notice. And he came in and just wowed everybody, myself included. It was just fantastic. And he is old friends from, he was a player in the Concertgebouw Orchestra, and the concertmaster of the Dallas Symphony was also the concertmaster of the Concertgebouw Orchestra there. So they were there together, good friends. The concertmaster down there is one of my great friends. So we all got to spend a lot of time together socially as well. And it was really a really special week, you know, one of those weeks that I'll always remember really, really fondly. So when he became the music director of one of my very favorite orchestras in the world, the Toronto Symphony, it was, I felt like it was my birthday. I was like, this is fantastic. You know, I was so happy about that. And yeah, to have the chance to work with him with these great friends of mine at the TSO, it's just been a real joy.
What is the energy like with him on stage collaborating?
He was a percussionist in one of the world's greatest orchestras, the Concertgebouw Orchestra. And he knows what players want, what players need. He is incredibly precise and efficient. He's warm, but he's also, you know, he understands from the side of the players, like the sort of the best way to bring things out of people and to be efficient and to make sure that everyone is having fun, but that everyone is working hard and really getting the job done. I think he's a very inspiring person for all of us, all of his collaborators on stage, because his musical passion is so clear, and his ability to create the best performances is also so clear. So it's been great fun.
You were here earlier in the season performing Barber's Violin Concerto, and this time, well, it's another American. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but the Serenade by Leonard Bernstein. Tell us a bit about this piece.
Yeah, well, for this this collaboration, I'll be joining one of my other greatest friends in the business, the conductor Stéphane Deneuve, who is an old friend of the Toronto Symphony, and we've worked together with the Toronto Symphony. And for Stéphane and I, the Bernstein Serenade is one of the sort of special pieces in our shared repertoire, in that we recorded it with his orchestra, the St. Louis Symphony. This piece, I just can't speak highly enough of the Bernstein Serenade. It's a fascinating, totally special, unique, bizarre in some ways, but just utterly wonderful piece of music. I mean, it was, I think, in a way, the perfect marriage of the different sides of Bernstein's personality. I mean, Bernstein was he always needed to be the smartest guy in the room and the most fun guy in the room. And I think you hear this in the piece. It can be enjoyed on so many different levels, just purely as entertainment. It's such an engaging piece. You hear all these different personalities coming through, and the last movement is literally the evoking of a party. And you hear that. It's pretty raucous.
It's funny to hear you describe this as a party, because the subheading is After Plato's Symposium, which sounds very serious and very philosophical.
But it's a funny thing, because if you've read Symposium, it's actually not really very daunting at all. It's a really interesting read. It's fascinating and it's touching and it's at times very funny. And yeah, it's a slice of life that in certain ways, of course, seems, wow, that is a very different world from the one we live in today. But in other kind of maybe deeper ways, you recognize these characters in the story. And so it's a fun thing that I think that at times people have felt almost a little afraid of the piece, because they're like, well, does this piece come with a reading assignment? It's like, no, of course not. It can really be appreciated, greatly appreciated, on just its purely musical merits. But it also does kind of reward a deeper look into things. And it's fascinating how the deeper you get into it, the more you recognize things and say, you know, I think that's the drunk guy with the hiccups. Or that's when the other guy runs in and the party gets started. Or this represents the duality of man. And there are these fascinating musical connections that are really rewarding if that's the way you choose to experience the piece.
Oh, this is a piece where the violin solo part is less out front than your typical concerto, more embedded in the writing. I would imagine then that a good relationship with the orchestra becomes even more essential.
Yeah, definitely. I think the idea of the violin soloist hero that stands out front and does his thing and the orchestra just accompanies, you know, I think that really in any scenario is a little bit of a lost opportunity, but it can at least work with certain pieces in the sort of typical late romantic tradition. With a piece like this, it absolutely won't. As you say, that the solo violin, I mean, it is a prominent solo role, but the interaction with the orchestra is so crucial that, yeah, it requires, you know, a particular way of working on it. And the closeness of my relationship with the players of the orchestra are going to make this particularly fun. Because, I mean, there are moments where I play even duets with certain players in Toronto that they're all my friends. So it's going to be great.
It was premiered in 1954 featuring Isaac Stern, and I believe he recorded it as well. Is that a resource that you have used in the past when studying this piece?
Well, it's fascinating when there's pieces from recent enough history that you can go back to recordings that were done with the composers. And Leonard Bernstein recorded it twice, once with Isaac Stern, once with Gidon Kremer. And it's very interesting the ways in which the performances are quite different. And I think it is a good glimpse into the mind of Bernstein, where a piece of music was a story to him. And the story can be told in different ways if you have different audiences and different actors. The overall impact of the story remains the same, but the way in which you tell it can change. And even in some of the details, he does things quite differently. That, I think, is a really interesting glimpse into his working mind.
Absolutely. And he's big these days in popular consciousness, thanks to the film, the biopic starring Bradley Cooper. And I was going to ask you, actually, about, you know, Bernstein, the conductor, versus Bernstein, the composer. But it sounds to me, from how you've already described this piece, that they seem one and the same here.
Yeah, I think that Bernstein, at his most successful, which he so often was because he was just him. And he was absolutely one of a kind. That shows through his performances, through his compositions, through the wonderful educational work that he did that is on record and on video. He's someone I really wish I could have known. I remember that clearly, seeing the newspaper the day that he died and thinking, oh, how sad that I'll never get to meet him. But like so many great artists, he lives on through what he left behind.
Well, James Ennis, we very much look forward to join you at the party that is the Bernstein Serenade with the TSO. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.